In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and God, Amen. Thank you for having me, and it's a blessing to be with you tonight. According to the schedule of the talks, I'm supposed to talk about Hail to You, Mary, the joy of Abel, the just, the salvation of Noah. So I'm going to split my talk into two parts. We're going to talk about two characters of the Old Testament, Abel and Noah, and definitely we relate those two and what they have done as salvation to Saint Mary, the mother of salvation, the mother of God, the Theotokos. So I'm gonna again split my talk into those two characters, Abel and Noah. When we talk about the characters of the Old Testament, one of the ways to understand how do we read the Old Testament, it is through the lens of the New Testament. So we see how these events, these characters, are perceived, are presented in the New Testament. This will tell us how can we read the Old Testament. So I'm going to begin with Abel and how he is mentioned in the New Testament. Both characters, Abel and Noah, they are mentioned in the very popular and famous chapter of the New Testament from the book of Hebrews, from the epistle of St. Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 11, the chapter of faith. So in about Abel, St. Paul says the following: by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. We all know the story. The story is that after the fall, God taught Adam and Eve and their descendants through the oral tradition that they should offer sacrifice, an animal sacrifice. So Abel, Cain and Abel, two brothers, the two sons to Adam, they both presented their sacrifices, but one presented from the animals, which is according to the commandments of God. The other presented from the plants of the earth. And definitely there is another aspect of it, is that one offered with love and the other, he didn't have love to God. Cain didn't have love to God while Abel was loving God. That's why St. Paul is saying the following: by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. So he had a testimony, and God testified for his sacrifice that is accepted, and that it is an excellent sacrifice. And through it, he being dead still speaks. So we believe that his sacrifice still speaks of his righteousness, the righteousness of Abel. That's why when we talk about Saint Mary, we say she is the joy of Abel. Why do we bring that up? The reason is that there is a testimony. We should have a testimony of our faith. And Abel, because of his love to God, he didn't do anything bad. And we will see what the Bible is saying in another epistle. What the Bible is saying, why Abel was killed, we will see that he didn't do anything bad except because of the enemy, the envy and the hatred and the jealousy of Cain. St. Paul goes on in the next chapter, chapter 12 from the Hebrews: but you have come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. That's why the church fathers, when they meditated on the character of Abel and what happened with him, they see him as a symbol of Christ. Because as Christ was offered, or he offered himself, and he was killed on the cross unjustly, so Abel was killed unjustly. And he St. Paul is saying that we had a better offering through Jesus Christ, even better than the one of Abel. Again, what do we get from that? Our life should be a testimony. Our life should be a testimony. And be sure that the testimony of our life should, it never goes in vain. So why is he killed? The first epistle of St. John says the following. In this, the children of God and the children of the evil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that we heard, that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Why did he murder him? Very interesting. The only reason why Abel was killed is because his works were evil and his brothers righteous. Cain was evil and Abel was righteous. This is the only reason why he was killed. I think this relates a lot to what's going on. I know many people are disturbed by the last incidents that are happening of the murder of one of the blessed bishops of the church. And people are saying, how can this happen in the church? And why God allow that to us? Yesterday, someone called me and he said, I got the news. Is that true? Could this be true? I told him, yeah, it is. It is true. We are still on earth. The church is still on earth. And there is evil on the earth. We have never been promised that we will be shielded from evil. We'll be shielded from evil, but not that we are not going to be persecuted. It's not that we are not going to be killed. If our Lord and Savior, who came to our world, he accepted this persecution, why should we be surprised if we faced persecution? So we shouldn't get surprised, but we know that the testimony of our life, our holy life, can never go in vain, can never go in vain. And I think it's a very relevant message to all of us, that we need to stick to our faith and to that testimony. And someone also was talking to me yesterday as well about still the same incidents. And a young lady, and she said, it's not good that you are kind to all people. And I told her, I disagree. We should be kind. Yes, we should be wise, and we should have discernment, but we should be kind whatever is going to happen, whatever is going to happen. And because we believe in our Christian values, we'll be kind. Kindness should be a characteristic of all Christians. And we should stick to that and stand for it, whatever is going to happen, even though this kindness would be returned by hatred. We know that. I mean, Jesus was dying for the whole world, but he was faced by the hatred of the Jews. And he never regret. You think, I know, hypothetically, it can happen. He's going to return in glory. But I mean, think of Jesus Christ, if he came again, if he came once again, do you think he will say, no, I'm not going to be loving as I was because I was faced by hatred? Do you think? Yes, no. Yes, no. Huh? No, definitely not. Definitely not. He will not regret his love. He will not take it back. So why is he killed? Because only Cain was evil and Abel was righteous. This is the only reason he was killed. So Abel was a martyr. You know, the word martyr is coming from a Greek word. The Greek word for martyria, it's a Greek word. What does it mean? You know? Martyria, witness. Witness. So he was a martyr. He was martyred because of his righteousness. And it reminded me by a story from the very early church, very interesting story about one of the female saints. Her name is Perpetua. The only thing we know about her that is very popular about her, that she was very modest, and when she was thrown to the beast to be killed during the Roman persecution, that covered herself when the beast started to push her. But actually, what is more interesting, that in the second century, she wrote her memoir. She wrote her notes and observations and her memoir before being killed. And these documents from the second century are still there, very important document about the martyrdom in the early church. And she was saying, they took us to the dungeon, the prison, and it was scary. And she says the following: after a few days, we are taken into the dungeon, and I was very much afraid because I had never felt such darkness. Oh, terrible day. Oh, the fierce heat of the shock of the soldiery. Because of the crowds, I was very unusually distressed by my anxiety for my infant. She had a little baby. She was 22 years old, and she had a baby, and she was nursing that baby. And she said, I was very anxious. But then she goes on to say, such solicitude and anxiety or worry, such solicitude I suffered for many days, and I obtained for my infant to remain in the dungeon with me. And forthwise I grew strong, and I was relieved from my distress and anxiety about my infant, and the dungeon became to me as it were a palace, so that I preferred being there to being elsewhere. I mean, that's the power that is given to the faithful people who decide to live according to the will of God. I mean, if we decided to stand for our faith, be sure that we won't be left alone. You are following the footsteps of our Savior, and you will never be left alone. And that's why you will be victoriously glorified. You will have the victory and the glory of God. That's why at the end of the story of Adam, this is from the Old Testament, at the very end, the story of, I'm sorry, not Adam, of Abel, chapter 4, it is said, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel. Abel was killed, the good seed, he was killed. And then God rewarded Adam and Eve by another son called Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men, and this is the important part, then men began to call on the name of the Lord. Then God will not leave his church. God will not leave his church. We see adversative situations and circumstances, yes. The church is still on earth, and we see weaknesses and things that we would never love to hear that it would exist, but the church still exists in on earth. The Pope Tawadros, he was giving a sermon today, and he said, among the 12 disciples, there was one who betrayed his master. There was one who killed himself. He lost hope and killed himself. So the church is still on earth. We still, the church that lived on earth, we are not yet the church who had the final victory. Even though we are victorious through our faith that there is a plan, and God is moving forward his plan for his people, for the faithful, for the people who stand for him. The second character, Noah, the salvation of Noah. And again, the same chapter, chapter 11 from the book of Hebrews, it says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. And this is the chapter in the very beginning. He was talking about faith, and faith is about the things that are unseen. Faith is about things that are unseen. And we believe it should imply that there is something that we don't see. In heaven, is there a faith? We'll have faith in heaven? Yes or no? No or yes? No, there is no faith in heaven. Is there hope in heaven? There is no hope, because we have what we expect, what we are waiting for. There is no faith because we see God face to face, with a C, not a TH. So we see him face to face. There is no faith. There is no hope because we got what we hoped for. But there is love. That's why St. Paul said, now stand three things, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of them is love, because this is the one that will continue with us until the end, eternally. So by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. He believed, and he had fear of God. He prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world. And I'll stop by this point, that he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. I mean, I want you to think, how much time did Noah take to build the ark? How many years? 100 years. It took him 100 years. And what do you think the people? Think of, we want to build an ark, a boat, a ship. Where should we build it? By the shore, right? So he was in the middle of the land. In the middle of the land, he was building a huge ship, a huge ark. What do you think the response of the people? In the beginning, they would ask him, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Why are you building an ark in the middle of the land? He would answer and say, because of the wickedness of the people, because of our wickedness. What would be the response, do you think? You will say, the man lost his mind. The man became crazy. And for 100 years, I think this is what the rhetoric he used to hear every day. This man lost his mind. This man is crazy. I mean, I think we might listen to something like that when we say we're not going to do the same things that everybody's doing. When we talk to those kids and we tell them, why did you do that? You're going to answer and say, everybody's doing it, right? Everybody's doing it. And this is for them, and even for us as adults, it's the biggest justification that everybody's doing it. But for him, he didn't follow what the people are saying, and he kept made fun of for 100 years, until that day when the flood came. And I always say that. I think when the water was here for everyone, I think the last thought that came to the mind of the people is that Noah was right. We wish that we abide, we listen to Noah, but we lost the chance. That's why our life is a chance, it's an opportunity to live with God, to believe in him, even though we are looking for things that are unseen, but we believe in them. We believe firmly. We believe in them as if we see them. I mean, in the same chapter, it was said about Moses that he left Egypt and as if he was seeing the one who is unseen, God who is unseen, as if he was seeing. Abraham, when he left his place among the Chaldeans, and he didn't know where he goes, but he was seeing God telling him to go out. That's why Noah was called a preacher. He didn't hold a mic, a fancy mic like what I'm doing now. His preaching was very much disrespected and left out. But he was right. And 100 years, everyone, he was telling the people, there is a flood coming. Our life is wicked. We need to change. We need to believe in him. We need to get into the ark. But no one listened to him until the flood came. So the Bible called him a preacher. A preacher, someone who is giving a sermon, someone who is preaching, like what I'm doing now. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people. Who are the eight people? Adam, his wife, three sons, and their wives. Eight people, only eight. And remember, the number eight is always a symbol of the new life, the eternal life. So one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world for the ungodly. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. The godly are always brought out of temptation. There is temptation. God never promised that there will be no temptation. There will be temptations. But we know that we are protected. And protected doesn't mean that we are not going to be hurt, or we are not going to be killed, but we are not. Our salvation won't be hurt. Our protection and leadership and the grace of God, which lead us to our salvation, will never leave us. To deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. So there is an end. The evil of this earth has an end. We should always remember that. But not on earth. The end of the evil is not on earth. That's why should, if the end of evil will be on earth, why should we wait for something else? Why should we wait for the kingdom of God? Why should we wait for the eternal life? Why should we wait for the heaven? But because the earth is not our place. That's why we shouldn't get astonished or intrigued, because we see problems on earth. That's normal. God told us that there will be persecution. There will be people will hate you. If they hated me, they would hate you. But at the end, we follow him and him only. I think one of the greatest things we need, and we need to get out of what's going on, the centrality of Christ in our life. We come to church because we want to meet with him. We come to church to focus on the altar and the sacrifice that is offered for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. Even though many won't accept, many won't follow God, but we come and our minds and our eyes are focused on the altar and in Christ. That's why he said, the people will not listen to you. And Jesus Christ himself, in the book of on the Gospel of St. Luke, he says, and as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. So the people were doing, they're living their life, and they're saying everything is going to be as it is, and don't think. And Noah is building the ark for now 100 years and nothing has happened. Don't believe in him, he's a liar. And then the flood came, and he was the only one who was saved within the ark. That's why we come to church, not to just as a habit, but again, to meet with our Lord, the one who died for us, and for the one who sent his only begotten Son to consider us as children of him, and the one who gave us to be sanctified by his Holy Spirit. And then the very last thing, the promises of the church. And again, I'm going to go back to the Old Testament. A very fascinating passage. I'm going to conclude with it because I think I took more than one I should take. The promises of the church, or the redeemed, in the book of Isaiah. And he says, for a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. If we are seeing tribulations, sufferings in this earth, but we know that it's just a mere moment. This is how the Bible is describing the tribulations we are going through. The same that St. Paul said, that we consider the sufferings of this age that it doesn't compare at all to the glory that is waiting for us in heaven. For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you. These are promises, and we should rely on them, fully rely on them, because he's faithful. The one who told Noah, and Noah believed, and he was saved, is the one who is speaking for us, and even greater than him. So he says, "Kindness, I will have mercy on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. For this is like the waters of Noah to me." As what happened during Noah's time, it's happening now. People are saying, "Where is God? He is not there. We don't believe." But for us, the believers, we stand firm on our faith, regardless of what's going on. Our faith is not dependent on what we see. It's dependent on his word, and we know that he is always faithful. So, "For this is like the waters of Noah to me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you." These are the promises we have. May God give us to through the intercession of our Mother, St. Mary, to look to these characters and how they lived and how they witnessed and how they testified to God, and they stood firm in their faith. May God give us to walk our journey through his grace and supported by his mercy, and glory be to God forever. Amen.
In alleluia doxa patrice iuque ad omnem matique ringiae Christos ionas tonion anam in hoce volum cor magio ventor de Christos es mona irente ves monim eum eviaros monis it in imnes em mare becnoinem te kirinioi Beklaus sotiemon onainan kirieleison kirieleison kiria flogeson emines moeroes timeton iakonievon kombiesmo.
Mon Père Christus, penunti.
Amin asesho.
Urun de tiri de bonante grin simnante grin kando venani volitok tigom deonem besmo nem amanshen. Amin. Make us worthy to pray to you, thankfully, our Father who art in heaven.
Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not to temptation, but there is Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever.
حبت الله على أبدا بكل نعمة ابن الوحيد ربنا ورب خلصان مسيح شركة موهبة عطيت روح كل استكم معجبين تدوم فيكم. امدوا بالسلام سلام ربي يكون معكم.